What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball. Producer Darius Dameron's hanging out. I'm Grant Paulson. Toby's vacation continues. You will hear the interview at the end of this pod that we did with Mackenzie Gore. But why don't we start, Darius, with a sweep-avoiding win for the Nationals. They lost 2 of 3 against the Royals, but a pretty fun day offensively, specifically the first inning. A grand slam from Nathaniel Lowe doing the heavy lifting. Good to get the bases loaded, 4 runs in, before anyone had really even settled into their seats at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, the first grand slam of the season, I believe, goes to Nathaniel Lowe. So congratulations to him on breaking the curse that was of not having a grand slam here in the 2025 season. But I think overall, good road trip for the most part for the offense. The offense had 9 or more hits in pretty much every game except for the first game of the Giants series. So it was good to see the offense get things going as they had been struggling, of course, a lot after this All-Star break. Pitching-wise, probably not as good for the team. A couple of good performances from Brad Lord and then Mackenzie Gore, but Jake Irvin started twice in this road trip and gave up 3 or more runs in both of his starts. Mitchell Parker didn't really fare too well in his start last night. Overall, I would say good road trip for the offense, not so great for the pitching side as far as the starting pitching, aside from Gore and Brad Lord.
Yeah, when you look at the offensive output in the finale, it wasn't like any one player had a huge game, although I really liked Brady House's performance with a 2 for 4. He also hit a ball on a missile, absolute complete impressive swing that got into the gap in right center and got tracked down. Great catch by the center fielder, but he could have easily had a 3-hit game with an extra base hit. He did drive in a run as part of a 10-hit game. And Dalen Lyle, obviously, with the game-winning hit on Wednesday, a 2 for 5 where he scored 2 runs, I thought acquitted himself well also. But the story for me on offense in this series against Kansas City, to drill down on James Wood, is that his slump is officially over at this point. You know, he had almost 6-week run where he just couldn't get right and couldn't put the ball in play. A lot of strikeouts piling up, wasn't going the other way, was pulling off of pitches, just looked like a shell of himself. And here over the last week, he's 10 for 32, which is a .315 average, slugging .560 again. Last 15 games, you know, he's got his OPS now, despite the beginning of that stretch where he wasn't hitting, you know, back up into normal range, you know, for average big leaguers, not his range where for the season he's about an .850 ops. But we've seen him now hit his 25th home run. Felt like it was waiting forever to get that ball off his bat and into the seats. But if you look at his stretch here over the last several days as he's kind of gotten out of the slump, he extended the hitting streak in a 1 for 5 with a single, his first at bat, as a matter of fact, went 0 for 4 after that in the finale. But 2 for 5, 2 for 4, 2 for 5, 2 for 5. He had 4 straight games with at least 2 hits. So I like the at-bats. I like what I'm seeing from James Wood. It feels like he has figured it out at this point.
And it seems like the leadoff spot is going to be home for a while at this point. And kudos to the coaching staff for making that adjustment. And it's allowed him to free himself. And I think we obviously knew that he was going to get it going again. The exit velocities had been ticking up in the last couple of weeks during this stretch. He actually hit, I believe, the second hardest ball in Nationals history. He has 2 of the top 3 hardest hit balls in Nationals history. I believe it was in Game 2. He hit a ball 118 off the bat, which is absolutely outrageous. But we knew he was going to get it going, and if the leadoff spot is the reason that he's going to keep it going, I'm absolutely here for it, because all it does is get him more and more opportunities to put at-bats together out there.
Yeah, something we talked about on a recent pod was that one of the big storylines the rest of the way was going to be, how does James Wood finish and how does he come out of this rut? Because he really hadn't gone through anything like this since high school. And I was talking to somebody who has tracked his career, and they were like, yeah, in high school he actually had a a several week period where he like struck out a lot and couldn't make contact and it hurt his draft stock. But really, as a pro, we have not seen this, frankly. And so this was the first time since then he's really gone through this. And you just don't know how it's going to affect someone. But it seems like he has been very positive and upbeat and didn't really get down on himself. But if you look at it, like, I think now if he can finish the season, even respectably, not in a way where he's on a tear or doesn't have to be James Wood from the first half as a top five OPS guy in baseball near the break, just a good rest of the season, it's going to end up having been one of the better years a Nationals player has turned in offensively since the World Series years, right? It's going to be a top, probably the best offensive year by any National since the World Series years, and maybe a top 3 to 5 season over the last decade or so by a Nationals player when you take into account his age. The fact that he's going to hit up around 270, that he's a 90th percentile batting value guy at this point, that he's, you know, 88th percentile in X slug and 98th percentile in average exit velocity and 97th percentile in hard hit percentage and walks at a 92nd percentile rate. Like, all that stuff over the course of the season, I think, is going to show up, and we're going to say, man, this is a superstar in the making. He went through that problematic period and he came out of it and might even be better off for having seen it, because now you've seen that he can snap out of it and it's not going to get the better of him. Sometimes with young guys his age, think about like CJ Abrams in the past, Aris, like it can just be the rest of the year like that, where you just go into a tailspin and you can't get out of it. And James Wood seems to have found a way to make the adjustments.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that I would be interested to see, I know guys like Shohei Ohtani bat leadoff and still drives in 100 runs and things like that, but he also has a loaded lineup where the guys at the bottom of the order are still guys that you don't want to pitch against. I'm worried about, I guess you shouldn't worry about this in a year where you're losing, but I'm worried about it. Will there be opportunities for him to drive in runs if he does remain at the top of the lineup? What would be your thoughts on like how that works as him being a leadoff guy, if this is something that they decide to move with long term?
Are you asking, like, am I okay with him as a leadoff hitter?
Yeah.
Like,
are you okay with him leading off knowing that he's the guy that should be supplying close to 100 RBIs in the season for this team to run?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that, honestly. I mean, I remember when Kyle Schwarber did it for an extended period of time here and in Philadelphia. Like, the runs batted into me, I don't care as much about as a count and as a counting statistic. I like the idea, obviously, of James Wood driving in runs when guys get on base, but you got to have guys on base. They don't really have anybody on the team, certainly right now, that's a better on base option than him. So correct. To me, like, I actually think that the smartest way to put together a lineup is actually go in the order of who gets on base the most from top to bottom. Like, those guys should be up the most. So I'll never have a problem with a team batting their best player first. Now, I will say, when you have his type of extra base hit propensity and power, you would like to get somebody who is an on-base guy in front of him for that reason, so that his double does score CJ Abrams, let's say, who got a single and a stolen base, rather than a double and now he's standing on second and nobody can bring him home, which is going to happen a lot when he's hot, I'm sure, in this lineup. But would I prefer it, like something you minor in to get him going if it works for him, and then you major in him batting down the order a little bit? Absolutely. But I'd rather him hit second than fourth. You know, I'd rather him hit probably even second than third. So yeah, but one, like I'll never be upset about your best hitter hitting really high in the order. I don't care how high. So I'd be fine with that.
I guess the other concern that we've had with James Wood over this last several weeks stretch in which he was struggling was the amount of strikeouts. He leads the National League in strikeouts, only second in the major leagues to Riley Green, who has 158. James Wood has 153.
Both all-stars, by the way, having good
years. Yeah, which is insane that they're both all-stars with those kind of strikeout numbers. They're followed by guys like Ryan McMahon, O'Neill Cruz, who weren't all-stars. Shohei Ohtani has 145, so not too far behind them. But I guess strikeout numbers, as long as you're putting up the OPS numbers to go along with it, strike out as much as you want.
Yeah, I mean, so I am kind of the camp, a little newer school. I'm not as bothered by strikeouts. My butt in this situation is, but you've got to walk. So, like, if you strike out a lot, but you walk a lot, no problem. If you don't walk and you strike out a lot, then you're not going to have a high on base, and now it is a big problem. That having been said, he's got to strike out a little bit less than he has in this stretch. He was not a sixth percentile guy in terms of striking out before he went into this six-week spiral, right? Like, even last year as a rookie, he didn't strike out at the rate that he is at right now. So That's got to get cleaned up a little bit. And I think when he's going better, like you just saw two games ago against the Royals, I guess it was game two of the series or whatever, like he didn't strike out at all in that game. So it's one strikeout now in his last two games and nine at bats, I guess it is, or whatever. You know, that is a sign that he's starting to put the ball in play more. I don't think he's always going to strike out. If you're 6 foot seven and you have long arms and long levers, it's just what it is. It comes
big strike zone. Yeah,
exactly. Strike zone. He gets a lot of crap called against him out of the strike zone because of his size. But also, you just have long arms. You're not going to have the shortest swing. I mean, that's find me a guy that's over 6'5" that didn't strike out a lot, like a Richie Sexton or an Aaron Judge. It's rarer in baseball to find guys of this size, but most of the time they have problem. Well, one of the secret sauces for him is he doesn't really have the huge holes in the swing, which is amazing. But I do think the strikeouts are normal. It's just that the rate over the last month and a half has been too high, like alarmingly. When you get into that like 30 plus 40%, whatever it's been, that's not going to work or cut it. So I'm with you. It's certainly something he's got to bring down, but I don't think he's a guy that's like a league leader, top three in baseball in strikeouts every single year. I don't think that's what he is as a hitter. That's what he's been the last 6 weeks. I just don't think that's what he is long term.
Yeah, and to your point, he's got 67 walks to his 153 strikeouts. You know, you look at a guy like Shohei with 145 strikeouts, he has 79 walks. Kyle Schwarber, 145 strikeouts, he has 78 walks. So, yeah, as long as you're striking out and walking, you know, I guess it works out. A guy like Riley Green is a guy who strikes out and doesn't walk. He has 158 strikeouts.
And I'd imagine his on-base percentage is lower because of it. Right. Generally, exactly. You know, you're not getting on base. And the other thing with that is, right, the strikeouts can be indicative, too. You work a lot of long counts. Like, you're comfortable swinging with two strikes. You're going 3-2. You're going 2-2 in every sequence. So, like, it's somewhat encouraging, I would say. Like, the walk rate, if he walks 100 times in a season, then you could strike out 150 and I won't blink an eye. But you certainly don't want to be leading the league in strikeouts. I don't know that we can ever sell that as a win. But like I said, I think it's a little bit maybe more about the recency of right now. I think if we go back to 6 weeks ago and look at the numbers, I'd be willing to bet not only was his K rate a lot lower, obviously, but that there were several guys ahead of him on the league leaderboard in that category. Otherwise, as far as the offense goes, I kind of liked what we saw from C.J. Abrams in this series. I thought he got it going. Obviously hit the home run and then was right in the thick of things in the 8-run output on the finale and the win, the 8-7 win for the Nationals. I thought, you know, for the week again, I keep waiting on him to kind of hit the switch. He like James Wood, is scuffled a little bit, but the swings got better. The at-bats got a little bit better. He's up to 16 homers on the year now, and he's got a season OPS of 791.
Couple of home runs on this road trip for CJ. He hit one in San Francisco. It always feels like he hits a big home run in San Francisco out into the McCovey Cove, which is always awesome. But yeah, but they're both sitting around the same batting average in the 260s. I kind of do like this spot in the lineup for him. I always thought that CJ Abrams obviously should be in the one or the two spot. The two spot kind of actually fits for him, and I kind of like where Cairo is going with this lineup. Now, ideally, my ideal lineup would be to put a righty between them. And I hope that eventually that righty is Dylan Cruz. If it's not, so let's just say a future free agent who comes in and is making a lot of money. That's funny. But
that is funny.
But that's something that I hope maybe we see at some point once Dylan Cruz comes back. I know we'll talk about Dylan Cruz a little bit later here, but I think that'd be awesome if we could have a lineup that starts with Wood, Cruz, Abrams, or vice versa. It could be Abrams, Cruz, Wood. I'd like to see that kind of work out, but I don't know. Maybe it just seems like this team has kind of always gone with the whatever works, and they're willing to load up lefties if they want. I don't think that's ideal to load up lefties.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
He's that way.
Before we get to Dylan Cruz's return, Jake Irvin's start in the finale against the Royals. He was staked to a 5-run advantage, and then he really struggled, both in terms of efficiency and economical approach, you know, throwing the ball over the plate and getting ahead. And then just, you know, getting the ball hit at people, right? It was not. It was routinely. He gave up knocks, and it seemed like he was in the soup every single inning. For the day, his line ended up being just 4 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, and he walked 4 and struck out 3. If you look at Jake Irvin's game log right now, he has not had a really good start since July, which doesn't sound like that long ago, but it's 4 starts ago for him. Against Minnesota on the road, which was that outing where he was pitching in front of his family in his home ballpark, which I'm glad he had that privilege of getting to do that and throwing well. You would have drawn it up for him that way. He's a good dude. But he's literally got 2 quality starts since June 16th. In that time, he has pitched at least 10, maybe 11 starts. 2 quality starts. Since mid-June when the Rockies were in town and everyone was chanting for David to get fired, like weeks before he actually did, just to give you a timestamp on that. If you look more closely, his ERA is over 6 in his last 15 starts. I mean, that's half of a season sample, almost. Guys, if they pitch every 5 days in the big leagues, generally make like 32, 34 starts, something like that. 15 starts in ERA over 6 for Jake Irvin. I squarely believe he'll be in the rotation going into spring training. There's no reason to assume otherwise. He's proven himself to be a horse. But we've talked a lot this year about the stuff regressing a little bit, you know, the velocity being down. And I think the perception is maybe because the velocity's down that, like, oh, well, the fastball's not playing the same way, but he's still got an awesome breaking ball. You know, let's not forget last year his off-speed run value was 75th percentile in Major League Baseball, right? This year, his off-speed run value is 6th percentile, and his pitching run value overall is 6th. His fastball's 14th. His breaking ball's 19th. You know, last year, that pitch was 25th. Like, the regression is bigger than just the velo, where his average fastball velocity last year was 94 miles an hour. This year, it's 92.3. It's down almost 2 full miles per hour. So this is something I would say beyond just, like, we're monitoring it, like, we've noticed it. But his ERA for the season is substantially over 5. It's close to up a run from 1 year ago. His best attribute right now, Dad, is that he is a horse. Like, he goes out, he eats innings, he can pitch deep into games, and very, very rarely is he only going 4 innings like he did today as we tape. But I think the best thing I can say about why he'll be in the rotation is just they don't have better options. Like, they have either a bunch of guys like Gray and Hurs who are hurt and wild cards, or they just don't have overall the talent that you'd want. But, man, I mean, the regression here this season has been loud for Jake.
It's disappointing. He definitely showed a lot of promise last year with the way he kind of carried the pitching staff in a lot of ways last year. And you see things like he has the most wins on the team of any starting pitcher. He clearly gets the run support. He's the one guy that seems to get the most consistent run support, but then he'll go out there with a big lead and do what he did today and allow so many runs to cross the plate and so many hits to fall in. And it's extremely disappointing to see that kind of regression. I hope that there's some kind of tweak that he makes in the offseason that maybe brings some of that velocity back, gives a little more life to that fastball, because maybe that fastball is the difference from what happened to last year to this year. But it's disappointing. But I like you said, I don't see why he's not in the rotation next year. He's definitely a mainstay in the rotation as long as they, again, don't go out and spend money and bring in, let's say, 2 or 3 starting pitchers, which is unrealistic. So,
which, based on what he's done over now 2.5 seasons, or almost like 3 years, basically, I mean, he would be a very solid, consummate fifth starter type, you know, ideally. Absolutely. Right? Where you, like, in fact, you know, you could make the case on a first division team, fifth starter on a team like Washington, he could be a fourth starter if he pitched like he did last year, and that would be okay. But the fielding independent pitching is now up over 5.5. You know, his hits per 9 are up a full hit this year. His home run rate is the highest that it's been. He's actually leading the league in home runs allowed. Nobody's given up more. His strikeout rate has fallen pretty considerably. Last 2 years, right around 7.5 per 9. This year, he's at 6 per 9. And then his walk rate is up from last year as well. Now, it's still, the walk rate is far from a problem. It's sub 3 per 9. But I'm just saying, your walks are up. Your strikeouts are down. Your hits are up. Your fielding independent pitching's up. Your ERA plus is the lowest it's been in any of his 3 seasons. Like, just numbers-wise, it's not pretty at this moment.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.